that once you choose a team, you cannot change it.
I'm not going to go into details, okay? But, you know, we're having a Monday night football, and I think somebody switched in the third quarter. But anyway, Lee and I had a talk about that. But anyway, we won't mention any names or who's playing and all that. But I'm so divided that I want to be one half a bear and another half lion. But I know I made the rule, so I got to challenge myself, because then all the brothers are going to get on my case. I know that. Anyway, good. Good to see everybody. Today is a special day. Pam and I are going to do a lesson together, generation to generation. And before we go ahead, we're going to go ahead and have a prayer together, and then we'll continue the lesson. Let's pray. That's a lot of noise out there. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this beautiful day. Lord, we love it when it's 70. We love it when it's 90 or 80 or even 57, and as I woke up. But God, most of all, Lord, I pray that we'll have the scriptures in our hearts today. Thank you, God, for all the journeys. We can come here and travel from another town or long distance, even from Kalamazoo or Lake Odessa, or wherever we come from, Spring Lake, all over West Michigan. I thank you, God, for bringing us together. Because we know, God, we want to hear the Word. We want to hear it preached. We want to hear it practiced. And Lord, if you are visiting with us today, I pray that we'll open our heart and our mind as the Word of God will go in and penetrate our thoughts and our attitudes according to Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. Because one day, God, we got to stand before you and you will be the judge. And we got to be accountable for what we do on this earth. Father, help us to love you. Help us to get close to you. Help us to connect with you, Lord. I pray that every one of us here, God, regardless of what generation we were born, that we will take some points today and implement so we can impact the next generation. Father, be with Pam and myself as we do the lesson together, as we inspire many to follow the Word of God. In His name we pray. Amen. Okay, generation to generation. In this picture, it's someone's hand is old and someone's in the middle age, and then we got a baby hand there too. So just to cover everybody there. In Luke 1:50, I have my remote. Amen. I love it. Hope you had a great week. We had a great rib cook-off last week. It was inspiring. Hi, Gene. It was very inspiring to see many come out. Want to encourage, we will do a catch-up, all the pictures, and together we'll do kind of a video thing soon. Still, if you haven't got a chance to give your special contribution for the Indian Missions, the window is open till end of October. I even got a couple of calls and even an email. They want to send their money, so that's exciting. And because the team is going out only next summer. Okay, so Paul is very encouraged, very inspired. I know Lansing had a big contribution, and I know Detroit is on board. It's awesome to see all the Michigan churches coming together to support the work at the Third World. And Paul is so excited because he's getting everybody together, getting a team together, and be able to send out to Sri Lanka, a real intense city. All right? Okay. Amen. In Luke 1:50, it says, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. You know, God is not a one-time affair. Following God is not a one-time affair. It's not like, okay, I have this year kind of freed up. I've heard people in my lifetime, God and all, give me a break. I just finished college. Listen, let me get a job, get settled down, get a couple of kids, put them in school, and then I got time for God. Well, after that, another kid comes, and then they move, and then they travel, and then 10, 20 years go by, and it's like, oh, where's God in the picture? Then it's too late because the world has taken place more in an important way in their heart. And then it's hard to come back because then you lost a generation. Are you with me? And then you got like in your 50s or 60s or 70s, you're barely making it. And how in the world are you going to impact another generation? Are you with me? And so this is not a one time. When I signed up and I said Jesus is Lord, it means I am not the Lord. He is the Lord and I die. And Paul says over and over again, it is not I who live, but God lives in me. Amen? Because the me dies, it's dead, and Christ is resurrected in Romans 6, resurrected to a new life. We participate in that. But I love the scripture because God's mercy is also with you when you fear Him and you love Him year after year after year after year after generation after. Are you with me? And so today, Pam and I want to impress upon you and help you to hang on to your faith. Build on your faith. And how do you pass on? How do you impart? How do you take it down the line? How one day, my vision, and I know even for Ricardo and Sharon, that one day they will stand at the waters of the baptism and then they will talk to Christina and Christina will say, Jesus is Lord. And even Pio down here is listening to me very intensely, that one day he too will say, Jesus, Jesus is Lord. Amen? Now his eyes opened up more. You saw that? See, he doesn't look Chinese to me, man. I'm telling you, he's good old Spanish. Amen? All right. So God's mercy is available. We think God's done with you and me. No, He's not done. He's never done. Our goal is to fear Him 100%. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures. Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 9. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear. This is not a one-time thing. This is for POs. I'm picking on PO today. PO, what? Sorry, Pedro. Peter, amen. Thank you. Now, see, Peter is getting confused there. See, it's for Peter's children one day. All right? That is how it needs to be. That they may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you so that you may enjoy long life. God wants you and me to enjoy life. Is that awesome? Not to be burdened. Oh, life's hard. That's not God's goal for you and your children and your generation. It's to enjoy. Amen? Life. Because He knows if you observe, if you obey, you're going to enjoy. Amen to that. I love the connection. Don't you love the connection? It is so simple. Here, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Israel. Sorry. Okay, I'm going to trip over. I'm going to get hurt. Thank you. All right. We got insurance. Amen. Right, Jenny? Amen. And be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of our ancestors, promised you. It's a promise. It's not a make-believe, but it's a real thing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Amen. You got to work out. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. Not stored up in some computer or files, all over internet and lessons and all that is good. But it needs to be on your heart. But if you have stuff on your heart, baggage from your heart, hurts from your past, bitterness and dramas, how in the world the Word of God is going to be on your heart? Even Christ says, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. Because you can't keep it there much longer. You got to get it out. So God's saying, get all the junk out. Vomit, I tell some people. Get it all out. Get it on the table. Right? Don't put it back. It's a yuck. It's blah. Get it all out. And put God's word and store it on your hearts. Amen to that? I want the church, all of us, to have that goal, that focus. Next month, we're going to have a revival, restore, re-something, repent, all kinds of stuff next month. It's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to the next month. It's going to be radical. Amen to that? We're going to do it midweeks. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. It's a command. It's not an option. Impress them on your children. So it doesn't even talk about getting married. Listen, that's understood. Get married. Amen. On your children. Restart later. I wish I could click with the red button. Let's do it together. Hit it. Talk about them when you sit at home. When you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Amen to that. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads, and amen. I love it. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. This time I'm going to have my beautiful wife come and share the next slide.
Amen. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to teach the women, because I know the scriptures talk about it's our responsibility as women to be able to impress on the next generation. When I look at Proverbs 31, the King Lemuel, I think, who wrote it, he said, these are the things my mother impressed on me. So I feel like it's important as women, we also figure out how can we impress the next generation. I know our children, or my children, and a lot of your children belong to the Generation Y. That's what the world calls. Every generation is kind of unique. And they kind of call it Generation IY because of all the technology. And it's good to sometimes understand, because every generation is different. Understand how that generation, what are their strengths? Because not everything is bad. Sometimes we can get so negative. And what are their weaknesses so we can strengthen them? Because it's our responsibility to pass on to the next generation. And right. You know, sociologists have researched, they've been studying out this generation, and they've kind of come up, these two authors, Howie and Strauss, kind of summarize their strengths and weaknesses, and it's up there. I'm not going to read it all. But there are some things that it's important for us to understand. I know for my children, so I can impress and train them up. You know, one of the things that I'm working on with my son, you know, he's had a fairly easy life compared to, you know, maybe our past, the way we grew up. And so what happens, that's a good thing. But what's the weakness? They might have lack stamina to finish school. You know, so even Yeah, on Friday, I drove up to Ann Arbor and encouraged him. You got to study. You can do it. You know, we got to keep encouraging them to finish what they start. Because when things are easy, it's easy to just quit. Another thing can be, you know, they are very, they can definitely multitask. I see my kids working. They're doing something on the computer. They are trying to do their homework at the same time, listening to music, and they're doing a lot of stuff at the same time. So one of the things I had to train them on is focus on one clear goal, because that's a struggle in that. And as a teacher, I see that with the students that I work with too. So, this is just a list for us to understand, and we'll go more into detail scripturally how we can train them. But I thought I'd just put that up there for us to understand, how they can, how we can respect and encourage the strengths, but at the same time inspire their weaknesses. Amen? Yeah. Change their weaknesses, I mean.
We can look at now, Paul has a scripture. His heart, and I want you to understand, Paul never got married, okay? He didn't get a chance to, he was too busy teaching and preaching the Old Testament, then he got the New Testament, life got converted, he's preaching the word. All right. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 6b to 12, okay? I'm going to go ahead and read that. Look at Paul's heart. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Paul was real. He shared the gospel, but he shared his lives too. I really believe the church will grow when we do both side by side. We balance it out. Where we teach, we preach, we share the gospel, and then we share our lives as well, right? Yep. But he was delighted in that. See, that's the catch, and I'm going to talk about the next slide very quickly. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. I'm still working on that. I don't want to be a burden to anybody. Amen? I'm not perfect, but I'm working on it. But I want it. That doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect and then work night and day. No, I'm going to do night and day. And then if I cause some burden, you got to come and talk to me. If I put pressure on you in any way, you got to come and talk to me. Amen to that?
Amen.
You're a family. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you in his kingdom and glory. Paul was a diehard Jesus fan. Any diehard Bears fan, James? Joe, diehard what fan?
Bears!
Milton, diehard Lion. I'm not going to ask Fred. I'm going to embarrass him. But you know, diehard, have you seen the diehard fans and Bears? I mean, they love the Bear country. I still haven't gone to the stadium yet. But people love during the cold weather and snow. And they just there, they pay $100, another $100 for parking and snacks and all that. And they're like, oh, they become like a bear, right? Why? Does that happen in a day? It takes time. You keep going. You keep watching. You make a decision. Not, I'll keep watching my whole life, but I won't love any team. But they made a decision to love it. There's something they love about Bears. I mean, I started loving Bears team because of all the excitement. All the Chicago brothers were fired up. Church gets off at 11:30, 12 o'clock. They're at home. You know, with all the chips and salsa and food, and yeah, they got all the Bears cap and the t-shirt. Yeah, they're so fired up. There was one game.
I got to share this. I don't know if Fred was there. We had 25 brothers stacked up upstairs in Jose Cintron's place. If you've been to that place up there, it's like a man cave. And everybody, that TV was so big, it wasn't even a TV, it was a home theater. And then we had one time Devin Hester scoring a touchdown. He's running to the touchline. And then this brother also got up. Go, go! He's running up to the screen. Go, 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 go! Get off from the screen! And he covered the whole screen all the way. Touchdown! He went like that. Now, what do you think about that? He's on fire. He's not worried about his wife or kids or family time or lunch. Or he's a that's called diehard fan. Finally, we all got up, so they get up, and we pulled him away from the screen. We didn't watch the touchdown. We had to do a replay. You know how upset Jose Cintron was? I don't think he ever invited him back again. He couldn't, but that's his heart. Paul was a diehard Jesus fan. You don't become in one day. I didn't become in one day. Oh, yeah. I love that picture. He carries the sheep and the shepherd. Oh, he's so cute. Hey, listen. He's a cute guy, maybe. But we got to fall in love with Christ. We got to spend time with Christ. We got to be energized. We got to read the scriptures. Last week, I read the whole Matthew 13. I got so fired up. I flat preached the word yesterday with the leadership. Man, I was on fire. Paul was delighted in sharing. He was fired up. Do you want to be fired up in your life? You know what fired up means? You know, before, we used to do the high five. Today we did that today. Great job, whoever did the welcome. Amen. Awesome. Got everybody fired up. Freddie, great job. Awesome. But we got to be fired up and not so, another day, another Sunday, another fellowship, another week. I'm getting tired. How in the world are you going to impress the next generation? Because the next generation is going to catch that from you. Oh, my dad and mom is too tired. They're not enjoying church very well. Oh, that brother and sister is really burned out. Boy, I don't want that. That's why a lot of people leave Christianity, because they don't see the fire. They don't feel it. Amen to that. I saw people before me on fire for the Lord. They would be on the podium. They'll be in the fellowship. They're excited. They're preaching. They're not tired. Man, that inspired me. How did that happen? Oh, he's faking it. Well, you can't fake it every week. You can't fake it 5 years and 10 years. Believe me. People who have done that, they're gone. They're gone. They're history. Do you know people like that? They faked it. They did it for 2 years or three or five. They got their money. They got their position. They got their title. They got their home. They're out of the door. As Christ would say in John 10, they were not true disciples, true shepherds. They were hired men. Hired men will run. But people who are diehard fans like Paul will stand and fight the good fight. If you're not a Jesus fan, if you don't love the good fight, you're not going to fight. You're going to run away. Are you thinking about leaving the church, members? If you're thinking about leaving, come and talk to me. Talk to one another. But I don't want to talk to anybody. Why not? I had that feeling a long time ago. When my girlfriend left me, I was depressed. I felt like running away because I was hurt. I didn't know how to deal with the hurt. Right? I don't know. When you're really down, you don't know. You're lost. You can't think clearly. You're depressed. And praise God for our brothers like Brett back in Oklahoma and Mike, what's his name? Mike Brown in Indianapolis. And Brian, he was a powerful brother. They got in there, and I remember Michael getting in there, said, "Uman, how are you feeling?" I was crying in the van. I said, "I feel down. I feel depressed. My girlfriend left me. I lost my job. And my dad lost his job." All at the same time. I'm telling you, Satan has a way of doing it. That was 1986. And he told me, "Send me a letter. There's no internet, nothing like that. I can't support you anymore." But it's my third year in college. I just became a disciple. It all happens when you become a disciple. Before, life was cool. How did that happen? Because you said Jesus is Lord. If you didn't say that, then you're on Satan's team. He wasn't going to attack you because you're already with him. Are you with me? But because I said Jesus is Lord, and he kicked Satan out of my life, Satan says, "Really? You're going to stand strong? I'm going to test you. Because you care too much for your daddy's money. So I'm going to get you." Ah, he knows what is close to your heart. Be careful what's close to your heart. Because Satan will attack you right there. What time is it? Sorry, honey. I was on a roll there. Hey, that's the time I started last week, 10:45. I feel very good now. And you know what I had to do? I had to work 8 times 7. 56 hours, almost 60 hours with overtime. And full-time job, full-time work, and not miss a meeting. Because I knew church was important. I needed the fellowship. That's how I became a diehard Jesus fan, through those trials. Because I'm tested who you are. Is Jesus really your Lord in bad times? Or is he only your Lord in good times? Read Ecclesiastes. You'll figure that out. Read it out. We don't have time today. It bothers me when people make excuses why they can't be Jesus' fan. I heard, oh man, I'll tell you, this year alone I heard so many excuses. I could have written a book. It's like, "Oh, thank you for one more." I heard so many excuses. I was burning, boiling up in August and September. Boiling. I said, I had it with excuses. 100 reasons why they can't come to church. You know, the Christians in Lagos, they walk 3 hours one way. Are you ready to walk 3 hours one way to church and fellowship and be giving? What's 3 hours walking? Who can do the math? Grand Haven, Spring Lake, how many hours is that? Lansing and back? Really? One way, 3 hours. That means 6 hours that day. I don't know. I know we're all thinking, but no pressure. But Alpine? Is that Alpine and here? Is it? Something like that? What? Alpine? 3 hours? Is that, how many miles is that? 15? 17? Quick walk? Whatever. Would you live in Alpine and walk 3 hours to church? One way. They got 1,000 members, 1,000 disciples. They bring another 1,000. That's 2,000 adults. And 200-300 kids, or 500, I don't know. They got a big hall. They're on fire. We got to put that video up there. They dance in their song. They're clapping. They're moving. Like Spanish salsa. It's a little bit, I know, I'm doing really bad, but Nigeria, they're on fire! Paul was on fire. What gets going to get you fired up? touchdown? Yeah, touchdown is good. But what about that's on and off? You don't know when that's going to come. Right? Where's the same zeal for Christ? I challenge you. Who wants to take up the Jesus fan challenge? It's up to you. And he took the role as a dad. I'm going to encourage, nurture, nourish, comforting, urging to live lives worthy of the kingdom and glory of God. Johnson, are okay, Nathan. Who can say that? All right, good. In 1989, he's right up here. He's a kid. Thank you, Ron. We got two slides, so we'll keep it up. Johnson, he was like 16, 17 back then. And he was a teenager, became a single, became a disciple. Saw the fellowship. That's Chica right here. He's with a beard. He's up here on fire. Back in 1989, he's in Boston. But Johnson was so fired up to be a disciple, but then Satan started attacking him. Family problems, money, all those kind of drama going on in the family. And finally, his sister, another teenager, ran away and committed suicide. It rocked the whole family. It just shook him up. It said, why God's doing that to me? And he couldn't handle the pressure. He ran away. And no one could find Johnson. No one. For 2 weeks, everybody, the church, friends, family, everybody looking for him, finally found him. And they found him. Praise God. And myself and the brothers, we took him to the apartment. We encouraged him, inspired him. And he broke down. He started trusting God. And he started fearing the Lord. He stood strong during the dramas of his life. He married an awesome sister in the kingdom, Maria. She's over here. They started working for the Hope. And now they're the main administrators in New Delhi Church and all over India. He was here. I wanted to go to Philadelphia for the conference. He was there. Angela met Johnson. Remember that? She got fired. Johnson got fired her up. And Johnson didn't tell me. I was upset. I said, Johnson, why didn't you tell me you're coming? I would have come with you. Or come and seen you, whatever. You put Johnson and Chica together, you will laugh all night. We should have these guys here. I'll tell you, man, they'll rock the world. Why? Because they came out of the dramas of their life. They got their heart all fixed up by talking and being open and getting challenged, getting rebuked, getting instructed, and fearing the Lord. It's a process. People quit too fast. 25 years later, awesome two daughters. This year, he baptized Lydia. It's the one generation, 25 years. Isn't that awesome? Another awesome family, Mohan. I knew him from 1987 from London. He became my discipler, trained me in the ministry and on the mission field. Mohan, too, had a lot of dramas in his life as singles. He had drama after drama, and then he started dating, a lot more dramas. nothing was happening. Helen, she was divorced in Singapore and started dating a younger man called Mohan. They had dramas, but they got married, amen? They started fearing the Lord in the 90s. They had a lot of persecution. Mohan was thrown in the jail for teaching and preaching on a Sunday. I was a young intern sitting in the crowd. He was preaching powerfully. And the authorities came, cops came, picked him up, handcuffed, took him to the jail. He was there for one day. He said, man, I became a Jesus fan. This is the real deal. They got raised up to do Hope Worldwide. And it's now today they're leading the London church, around 600 disciples. If ever you go to London, go meet Moore and Helen. They had a great time. Their kids all became disciples. They started fearing the Lord 25 years later. Amen to that? It didn't happen only seeing them on Sundays. We walked with them. You know, when Pam and I got into arguments, we would go to Mohan and Helen, help us out. I was thick-headed back then. Mohan had to straighten me out. And Pam was fired up. At other times, Pam had to be straightened out, and I was fired up. Because we are trying to straighten out each other, that backfired. Are you with me? We need people who know our lives. We can walk together and together. And they had issues. Hey, we got it there too. Amen to that? Okay. Ephesians 6:4. This for the daddies. You ready? Future daddies. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Exasperate. Don't get them all worked up. Don't get them angry. And we can look at some details a little bit later on. Greek translator, bring them up, is to nourish. We need to nourish and nurture them. Not as simple as bring them up. We got to nurture and nourish. If the fathers and parents, we don't do it, then the world is going to do it anyway in a negative fashion. Please get involved. Figure out the nourishment so that they can become healthy. You know, we know what it means to buy food and we help them physically, right? By now we know all daddies and what to buy and what not to buy, right? And we are on top of that. We'll spend money, we'll use our credit card, we'll buy the groceries, we'll do whatever it takes. That's what we did Friday night. Michael said as soon as we saw, let's go shopping. Where are we going? Grocery, okay. And from 7:30 till 10 o'clock, we'd been grocery shopping, mercy. And we stacked it up for a couple of weeks. It was fun, you know, went to a lot of shops and he was fired up. But later on, we had dinner at Chipotle and we talked about his physical, emotional, and spiritual part of him. How you doing? How you feeling? Are you happy being here? Stuff like that. Are you with me? That is so important part of nurturing. Yeah, he may be 20 years old, so what? It's to the whole generation. Okay? So don't get caught up with one phase of your life. Have a vision. Raise them up. Joe and I had a great time last week, a couple of weeks, talking about parenting and getting in there and having family devotionals. It is so, so important. Amen? Oh, not amen? It's not.
Amen.
Okay, I thought we... All right. What not to do? Exasperate. But what to do? Nourish and nurture. At this time, I'm going to ask my wife to come. Sure.
We just wanted to go over what it means to exasperate. And this is kind of like a little bit like my sin list. Because I feel like my kids are grown up and we learned a lot. And I am just so grateful that they're disciples because we get to talk. They get to talk. And I know as parents, none of us are perfect. And this whole process of exasperate, we just naturally seem to exasperate our children. I did that yesterday, but praise God she's open. You know, some ways we do that, you know, belittling them. And that's what I did yesterday. Just randomly things can come out of your mouth that you won't realize that belittles your child. And so it's important. I know for me, I remember as a young, when I was young, I remember my dad and mom making this passing comment, I wish you were a boy. We really were looking forward to a boy and you were a girl. And I know my parents love me. I know they give everything, but that little comment stuck with me.
Yeah.
And it just kind of affected my conscience. Like, they didn't really want me. You know, praise God, God called me out and I became a disciple. But it's easy for us as parents sometimes to just say things and not really realize how it affects the next generation. Another thing is, it talks about being emotionally deprived. That's another way we can exasperate our children. For me, I know the way my dad raised me up was children are supposed to be seen, not heard. So we go to anybody's house, we're supposed to sit and not say anything, we'd be quiet. And I can't express my emotions. You know, every time I talk to my dad and say, okay, that's how I feel. I don't need to hear your feelings. You can go talk to your mom. You know, and so if after when I became a disciple, I needed a lot of discipling to figure out what am I feeling, you know, because I was out of touch with my feelings and being controlling. That's another way we can exasperate them. If our children are overly dependent on the mother, you know, sometimes as moms, if we don't have a, we got to learn what's appropriate for our children to hear. Sometimes we just kind of keep talking about all kinds of stuff and we don't know how they're hearing it. And it's important that we don't just enmesh them, that there are certain things they don't need to really know at that particular age. I think as they grow up, they have the maturity to understand. So making sure that we are being good examples. Another way that we can be exasperating is being a perfectionist, you know, always. I know for me, that's how I was brought up. If I got a B, there was a talk, you know. Why didn't you get an A, you know? And sometimes we could focus on how's everybody going to, what else, what's everybody else going to think of our children, rather, and put that pressure on them to act a certain way and be perfect rather than just not exasperating them. Pessimistic. You know, when we don't have any faith, we're always looking at, oh, that's not going to be possible, or always looking at the glass half empty. And I think this faith key is so important. I know for me, that's something that I had to really learn, because all my life, the way I was brought up, I always heard what's negative. Oh, you know, what's... And so for me to get my faith up as a mom, you know, was, it's very important, because I remember even when Uman came and asked us, you know, we had to do a lot of radical things as disciples, move to different cities and change schools and so many different things. But it was so important for me to go to God and, like he was sharing, get rid of my fears, my insecurities, and give faith to my children and let them see God. Even moving here, it was good to just step out on faith, and they got to see God is real. God did provide a job. God, when they see God is real, then they start believing. So as moms, it's so important that we're not pessimistic. We're not living out our fears and being so fear-focused, but rather being faithful, amen? Amen? Punitive, you know, punishing them for every little thing. You know, that's also another way we can exasperate them. Overprotective, being excessively worried, you know. For me, I had to just trust my children, and it was great. I remember when Uman said, we're going to have Michael get a car, and I was like, car? I won't know where he's going. I like dropping him. I like knowing where he's going. It was hard for me to just give him a car, you know, and what if he gets into an accident? But I had to stop and say, he needs to grow up. He needs to have that responsibility. And I remember when he was moving out, he said, you know, Mom, I really appreciate you trusting me with the car. And even though he had an accident, God protected him. That's part of life's lessons. As moms, making sure we're not, you know, again, controlled by our fear, but really let our husbands lead and raise the men, not be sentimental, and go in there and just, you know, sometimes our husbands can be really hardline with our children, and that's okay. You know, we got to make sure that we're not sentimental, amen? So overprotective, excessively worried, overly permissive. You know, if parents are not available, you're just busy doing your own thing and you let them watch whatever you want, what they want, there's no boundaries. That is, that's a way that we can exasperate them. Well, what can we do? You know, and that scripture is awesome. It says, what not to do is don't exasperate. And we talked about what exasperating is. But we need to learn to nourish and nurture. Really making sure we're connected with our children. And I think one way we can do that is making sure we have those weekly times with them. and they were talking about their hearts and what they're bothered about, or what, you know, yesterday I just got off the phone with my sister-in-law, and I'm looking at Melissa, and she's crying. I'm like, what happened? And, you know, and she had to share, you know, when you were just saying why this random comment that you made, that really hurt me. And I was like, really, you know, but I had to really, I'm glad she got it out. I had to really apologize. But having those times where you can talk about what's really going on in their hearts, practically, you know, having a weekly time with each child, that's what we try to do. Trying to make sure we have family dinners together. Connecting with them spiritually, making sure that you are being a disciple. And I think that's something that you might not realize, but I remember when we were growing, when my kids were young, it was a challenge to bring them to meetings and wonder, oh, I wish they were, this is hard, I wish I could just have a babysitter or whatever. But we were committed, and they saw us living out the Christian life. They saw me get up early morning and have my quiet time. And then I look at my daughter getting up at 5 and reading her Bible. I'm like, I never told her that, but she's just imitating what she sees. You know, wanting to, I appreciate them making, I never had to tell them, don't go to worldly parties. It was, they just don't have any desire. You know, they want me to drive them to Chicago so they can have a prom there with spiritual children, which is a great blessing. But what? How can you experience all that as teens is when they are young, they saw it, they loved church. And they you brought them and they build those relationships. And so when they're teens, their connection is not with the world. Their connection is with spiritual people. So, you know, I just want to keep encouraging you guys, do not get tired and weary of doing good. Be committed as a disciple. And I appreciate Darcy taking her children door knocking when we had the evangelism opportunity. Sometimes they, oh, what a bother, why should we bring our children? But that's what they see. We've got to make sure that we're living out as disciples. They need to see you studying the Bible with people. Because now my daughter's like, I want to study the Bible with people. Because that's what they see. But if you say, well, I can't study the Bible with people because I got to focus on our children, then that's what happens to that I generation. They get so focused on their needs that they're not outward focused. They're not becoming, they won't become disciples because it'll be all about them. Meet my need right now. So we can't grow children that are selfish. We need to grow disciples, but we need to be a disciple ourselves. Amen? Amen.
So in conclusion,
I want to thank everyone for coming and being attentive and learning. We got a lot of work to do in the church, in our own lives, in our families. Don't give up. I want to encourage you, don't give up. If you're facing an issue, if you have a family situation, talk to people. Talk to me and Pam. Talk to people who you know from your mother church. Or if you can't get help here, if you're going to call Chicago, you're going to call Detroit, you're going to call other people, get the help we need. Because why? Because there are people who went ahead. Amen to that?
Yeah.
One of the brothers I respect is Roger Lamb. Maybe you may know him. You know, I know Roger Lamb from 1987. I mean, one generation, okay? He helped his dad come to the Lord, his kids, his grandkids, like three generations now. They're all up on the stage. I was looking for that picture. I couldn't put it up. But it was so good to see the Lamb family. And what Roger's belief, you know, he traveled a lot of dramas in his life and traveling, but he never took his eyes off God. Whether you are single, adult, married, engaged, have a couple of kids, or more than that, or grandkids, or whatnot, God is calling you today to fear Him. In fact, you go back to Deuteronomy 6, be careful to obey so it may go well with you. You know, God wants us the best for us. He wants us to enjoy study of those scriptures again. And if you're not enjoying, that means there's something missing in our life. You've got to figure out. Don't settle in and do all same old. Are you with me?
Yes.
We've got to get the help. We've got to pray. We've got to be open. Get into the Word. Let the Word challenge us. Open your heart. It's okay to be challenged. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go ahead and close it up, and then we'll have a communion. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this time. Thank you that Pam and I can be able to do a lesson generation to generation. God, this is not a one-time thing, a one-year project, coming to church or joining a church, but God, you have called us to fear him throughout generations. And I pray, God, that we will totally commit our hearts to you, Lord, that we'll be careful to obey, that we will impress our children, no matter what the age are, not to be controlling, but inspired and encouraged and nurture and nourish them. Thank you so much for the church. Thank you, God, for all the events happening today. Lord, we love you so much. In his name we pray.